T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morris into the crowd, spilled the beer. Morris is dripping with beer. He's just soaked in beer in the pour, and it's in the guy's hair. It's in the guy's hair. Beer is every place.
Dale Arnold.
Big Booty Judy Award.
Rich Key.
I love my money.
I'm so glad that I jumped off of the Kyrie Irving bandwagon weeks ago. For everybody that's still on it, get off now. Get away from there.
Dale and Keith.
That's why my friends call me Whiskers.
Do they call you
that? Yeah, I'm curious like a cat.
Hand your phone over right now. Show me where somebody called you Whiskers.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
What's sad is that someone probably did.
That's, oh, yeah. I got all kinds of nicknames, Dale. Some of them I can't say on the radio.
Can I just, at the risk of breaking down the fourth wall for folks out there.
Yes.
But sometimes you need to share stuff like this.
Sure. What do you got?
If you'd have heard the last 30 minutes in our office.
What's wrong with that?
About what's the more important sequel that's being made, or the remake that's being made, Aladdin or Lion King?
Gun to your head, what do you think? Aladdin or Lion King?
If you had heard this whole, and I mean,
if you had a free movie pass, which one would you choose?
No, I like, okay, free movie pass, that's a nicer way of saying it.
We already did the gun to the head yesterday.
We're not doing gun to the head.
Fine. A nicer way of saying it. You have a free
shotgun to your genitals.
Free. Okay, now you're talking.
Oh, God.
Free movie pass, Aladdin or Lion King. I think the answer is Aladdin, and I understand the Lion King cast is off the charts. I don't really want to see either one, but the Aladdin movie has a really hot Jafar, has a really hot Jasmine.
Also has a really ugly genie.
And a terrible genie. But that might be
a really hot Jafar.
You should see this Jafar,
Dale. I've seen Jafar already.
They're questioning if he's too hot. That's the thing. That's their big concern. You'd be the one to ask this question.
Is there such a thing, Rich, as being too hot?
Well, listen. There
just
can
wondering.
Be. Yeah, you can get yourself into some trouble sometimes. And I think this is a case where you have a villain, like a really bad guy, but you're going to kind of root for him a little bit. And that may be vain, but you may be rooting for him a little bit because he is so hot. Hotter than Aladdin, even.
If you could have seen Caitlin, one of our two superb interns.
That's correct.
First round draft pick interns. Yeah. If you could have seen the look on her face.
I think she understood what I was saying.
As she's sitting in the room listening to this discussion going back and forth. And
Well,
she was Googling that Jafar, I'll tell you that.
You brought up
she
a lot of good
Google,
points.
She did Google some things.
Don't you think the genie could be so bad he's good, though? Or he's just so bad that you're going to be laughing at it. I think it's going to be more memorable. Be like, remember Will Smith in Aladdin? That was hilarious. Whereas Lion King, whatever, just a bunch of CGI lions running around.
Those aren't CGI. Those are real.
They actually did train. They got real lions?
They trained a monkey to hold a lion up in the air.
This is all you, Simba. So they got these talking lions. They train these lions to talk.
The problem with...
Is Siegfried and Roy still with us? Didn't one of those guys get mauled by the...
Yeah, they were mauled, but they're still with us.
So they stopped using the lions maybe
Well, parts
as much.
Of them are still with us.
I just think that they're like, oh, it's live action Lion King. It's not live action Lion King.
Well, Beyonce's live.
Is she? She's probably
it's her voice.
She's the person.
Yeah, I guess. But there are going to be all these animals that are just created in a studio, like on a computer. It's not live action.
How great would it be if you buy a Lion King ticket, you're going in there to see this new one, and they just replay the old one?
The old one's great. The old one's great. I'd watch the old one again.
Texter says, gun to my head, choosing between Lion King or Aladdin remakes. Easy. Shoot me.
All right. Well, that's one way.
Well, I feel bad for him. Hope everything's okay with his family.
I'll tell you, watch the Aladdin trailer one more time. I think that'd probably be your answer. It's not going to be a very good movie, but if you're forcing me to pick one of these, and you are, you're very stern, I would take the Aladdin remake.
I watched your reaction to the trailer, and that really did not set me off.
Did you like that? I made a trailer breakdown on my YouTube channel.
Trailer breakdown.
That's right, Dale.
You know,
I did a trailer breakdown.
Here's just a thought.
Hey, tweet that out from Dale Keefe, WEEI. You're one step ahead. You guys are so quick.
It's just a thought, and I know it's February, but it's a nicer winter than normal.
Yeah.
Get out of the Fortress of Solitude once in a while.
In there.
Take the dog for a walk outside.
We do a daily walk.
Take a little constitutional.
He gets wiped out after too many walks. He likes to take a little snooze down the lair.
Can we just have a sit now?
He's like, enough's enough. No, it's a very quick video. It's less than a minute. You can watch the Aladdin trailer breakdown. Pretty good stuff.
We've
on
got
my
to,
YouTube channel. What's the worst part of that sentence that I did an Aladdin breakdown?
Oh, no, then you have a YouTube channel.
Yeah. It's not very popular
at
all.
Better than Alex Bregman's that we talked about last?
Yeah, it's never.
Is it you doing yoga?
I promise you, it's never me working out or me doing yoga.
Oh,
I promise
hot yoga.
You. You'll never get that.
Little Richie Keefe doing hot yoga on your YouTube channel.
I
will subscribe.
Yeah, with my tight pants
angle,
on.
Don't forget. And it's up a weird angle.
Tight pants, no shirt. Maybe that could help me get some subscribers.
And you've ripped
I have like
sleeve.
A dozen people following me on there. So if you want to check out my YouTube channel.
You're up to a dozen now?
Yeah, it's up to a dozen. Dork Podcast, if you want to check that out.
That might go against terms of service. You might want to look into that first.
That's true. That might get that yanked down if it's just me doing shirtless yoga.
So I have to admit, as the game kicked off at 8:15 last night, I'm thinking, these look like two teams that haven't played in like 8 days.
It does. Around the league.
A little rusty.
Like that. Yeah, that was kind of a real ugly start for everybody involved. Your guy Kyrie Irving, though. Nice 1-for-10 first half.
That was a nice
way
to
start. Couldn't throw it in the ocean there to begin the game.
He heated up as the game went on. It led me to believe, okay, the last play, is that what we want?
Yeah, you want your guy throwing up a shot with his other hand.
Is that what we were going for?
Well, so what they were going for was a play to Marcus Morris. So the play, Marcus Smart said it after the game, the play down by one was to have Kyrie Irving actually set a screen on Middleton and free up Marcus Morris for either an alley-oop or just a pass into the paint. I know Bill Simmons on Twitter was saying that Marcus Morris got tackled.
Well,
I don't know if he got tackled necessarily.
I mean, did he get fouled? Probably. But, I mean, is that what you want? No.
And then, so I don't know. I mean, there was some contact there.
See, I would
there.
Just suggest that maybe Kyrie Irving, as they're drawing up this play in the huddle, is thinking,
you think he's pissed?
Do you think Marcus Morris is your best option here?
I bet he was kind of pissed. But then as soon as he got the ball, he didn't really have time to pass. Because I know a lot of people are saying, well, Al Horford was open on the wing. I'll take Kyrie. As much as I'm annoyed by Kyrie Irving, that's the guy you want taking the last shot.
Yes!
You know, so he gets
which
the ball.
Which is who he wants taking the last shot.
Although, would have loved it to be from his right hand, which is
that
what he normally
been better.
Shoots with. I would have preferred that. Now, I know he makes a lot of weird shots. I know people are probably saying, well, he practices. Have you ever seen pregame? He practices these off-balance shots. Yeah, I get it. But I would have preferred him to shoot it with the right hand. He didn't. He missed. The other thing, though, that I had an issue with was that they didn't foul. So, they're down by one. There was a 3-second difference between the shot clock and the game clock. And so, best case scenario there, you get the ball with 3 seconds. And I'm thinking, you're down by one. It's not like you're down by two. So you put them to the line, even if they make both. All right, now you have a bunch of time and you can draw up a three. But I just thought there's not enough time. You had to be really cute with it. Now, to their credit, they ended up getting a shot off, you know, a potential game winning shot. But that was in real time. I was looking at that saying, well, why don't you foul here? It didn't add up. You're down by a point. So I wonder if Brad Stevens would have done something differently then. But they did. They got the ball to their best player, and he just missed it. You're right. It was kind of an ugly first half for both teams.
In the second half.
Yeah, but you certainly didn't expect under 100 for both
teams.
Yeah,
and I think everybody's probably, you know, a little rusty. Yeah. It's the same. Any league, like in the NHL, they have a bye week, and you have a week off, and game probably looks a little snarly there at the beginning.
Yeah.
I didn't blame them, but boy, it was pretty ugly basketball for a while.
It was pretty ugly. How good is Giannis?
Sort of really like...
I mean, this guy
Did you hear on the TNT pregame, you know, they were talking about... Or no, I'll take it back. It was on The Jump yesterday. They were talking about Giannis and, you know, what's going to happen. They actually have the money, the Milwaukee Bucks do, or can free up the money for two max contracts coming in.
Oh, boy.
What if you could talk Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving into going to Milwaukee? To play with Giannis.
Oh, my God.
And if they did, let's say, for the sake of this discussion only, they did talk them into it. Wow, would that team be good?
Yeah, I mean, they'd be insane. I mean, they're already really good now. He's taken another leap forward, and he's only 24 years old. Is that right? He's 24? Like, he just turned 24, too. Like, he's a young 24. Like, I was watching him, and this is... I obviously, you know how I feel about LeBron James, and not a huge fan, but I respect him as a player. He's a great player.
Yep.
And everybody said, oh, there'll never be another LeBron, or LeBron's a once-in-a-generation player. I don't know. You watch Giannis, you're like, could he have a similar career to him?
He looks pretty darn good, doesn't he?
Like, he really does. And he was a little bit slower start. They were both in the league very young. Giannis was a 19-year-old rookie, and he went in there, and, you know, he averaged... I think it was like 7 points a game his rookie year, whereas LeBron really did hit the ground running. So he had a little bit of a slower start. But if you look at what he's doing now, points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, he still doesn't shoot threes, but he at least is a guy that, he's not like Ben Simmons. Like he'll take them every once in a while. He does need to improve that or at least get that Kevin Garnett range, you know, where it's like a step inside the three, and then he'd be unguardable. But he just scores so effortlessly, like around the basket. His arms are so long. There's a play like, oh, he's kind of out of position, dunk. Like, what? So I think he has a chance to go down as one of the greatest players of all time. It's insane watching him play, and he's so young. So if he stays healthy, I don't really know what stops this guy. And if you surround him, like you said, I don't know if it's Durant, Irving, but if you put...
Well, that's what Windhorst was talking about this on The Jump, and he was saying, you know, everybody's talking about... Will Giannis want to go to Golden State and play? Will he want to do this? And Windhorst pointed out...
Who's going to Milwaukee, though? I mean, players in the league don't really want to go to Boston.
I guess it's a question of whether or not you want to win.
Yeah.
And if you had the opportunity, if Durant and Irving joined Giannis in Milwaukee, don't you think they'd have a pretty good chance to win?
They would have a great chance. Of course they would. They'd have three top 10 players. Yeah. I feel like they would win every time they were healthy. They would win the title. He is just outrageous. And I don't even know if he played like a great game last night. And he finishes with 30, 13, 6, couple of blocks. Great block on Tatum. And then to Tatum's credit, that was late in the game. He had a breakaway. Giannis comes down, chases him down, blocks a shot. Next possession, though, Tatum knocks down a three. So Tatum hit some really big shots for him. Jaylen Brown was knocking down shots for a little while. But just watching Giannis, and you know how good he is. I mean, he got voted to be a captain in the All-Star game, and he's an All-NBA guy already. But he is insanely good. Like, he could be...
Of the two or three best players in the league.
He absolutely is. Like, he could easily be the MVP this year. And it's funny, because when LeBron left to go to the West, early on, a lot of the talk was, you know, in the offseason, all the talents in the West, and, you know, look at what the Eastern Conference might not even be able to field an All-Star team. It's like, well, that's wrong. Giannis has taken right over... Best player in the Eastern Conference. You also got Kawhi Leonard. You got Kyrie Irving. You got Joel Embiid. There's plenty of talent in the Eastern Conference, and it's led by this guy. I mean, he's the future of the NBA. He's been in the league now for a while, but he's 24 years old. He's unbelievable. Fun to watch.
And they move now. Game two of this road trip is in Chicago. That comes up tomorrow.
Yep.
They'll probably win that one.
Chicago stinks. Yeah. They should absolutely win Chicago, but then Toronto.
And then Toronto.
At Toronto, which
so
is a
you're playing the Iron,
play.
Two of your three games back from the All-Star break,
and Philly
and you're
won.
Playing the Iron.
Philly
in
won last night, so you fall to fifth. So right now, and I know there's plenty of games left to go, but right now the Celtics would be on the road for the first round of the playoffs. And I don't love Philly, and we'll see what happens with Joel Embiid and see how healthy he can be. And the Celtics have matched up well with Philly, although they have Tobias Harris now, and he's starting to fit in a little bit better. They have Jimmy Butler, who they didn't have last year. But having to go on the road in the first round, that is not what we thought was going to happen. Now you're talking about a potential first-round exit for the Celtics. That is brutal. So, yeah, so games like the Bulls and teams like that, they need to win every one of those games to try to vault back up and maybe be the three seed. I think that's the highest they could be, by the way. Like they're not catching Milwaukee or Toronto, but they could certainly catch Indiana.
So you know how you're out on... On Kyrie.
Oh, long gone. I mean, do we have the date out. Of that? When was the date of the...
LeBron call? LeBron call?
LeBron. He called Braun. Whatever date that was, we can roll tape on that.
It was over the weekend, I believe, and it was that Monday. I think it was 2 weeks ago.
At least 2 weeks ago, right?
So
we'll get the actual...
So you were out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I assumed Callahan was out last night.
Why is that?
Do you see what Kyrie was wearing for his post-game presser?
What was he wearing?
A New York Times t-shirt. He was wearing a T-shirt about, you know, truth and the importance of truth, and it was a New York Times T-shirt. Callahan's not going anywhere near this guy anymore.
Doesn't care for that. Is that a shout-out to the Knicks? What is that? What is he doing there?
I don't know. Truth. You know, like the flat earth stuff. Yeah.
But you were right.
January 18th, 2019 was the day you proclaimed.
Oh, I'm a month. That's a month. And I feel better for myself. You know, and I think most people now, there's been no reason to go back. In fact, there's only been pushing me further away. I feel like I'm in the absolute right here.
And even if you're not, you're sticking to it.
Yes. Oh, I'm absolutely sticking to it. Where do you think he plays next year? Gun to your head.
Gun to your genitals. Where is he playing?
For the fifth time this morning. Gun to your head. Where does Kyrie Irving play next season?
Lakers.
I'm going Knicks. Yesterday I had, or a couple days ago, I thought the Celtics still had the best chance, and I put it at 50% on the Rich Keefe odds. It was 50%, 40% Knicks, 10% Lakers. I'm now updating it, 60% Knicks, 30% Celtics, 10% Lakers.
You guys just killed the audience. No. Lakers and Knicks.
Well, I mean,
where else is he going?
Bucks. Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Yeah, open up the doors to Milwaukee.
It's all a big ruse. He'll be right back here in Boston.
Well, that's nice.
Let's hope you're right.
Positive roster.
Mr. Glasses half full.
Yeah, look
over
at this
there.
Guy. Jeez.
He's testing the waters.
Occasions so far has said gun to your genitals. Mr.
You
Positive.
Better make the right decision there.
But I think that's what this all
Yankees
is.
Back.
Yes.
All right.
He's going to try to get one of these guys here.
With Anthony Davis. I mean, that's the only way he's back. I felt that way for a while. And that could still happen. But still a lot of season left. I'm just surprised, like, the way he's handled everything. It's so easy to kind of go the Patriots route. Like, the Patriots will, you'll ask these Patriots guys all kinds of questions. And they'll just say, you know, I'm focused on this season. Hey, Brady, you know, what are you doing? Or, hey, Belichick, how much longer? I'm focused on this season. And maybe it's kind of a boring answer, but it prevents you from having to have all these meltdowns like he's had. You were right, though, yesterday. We said today we're going to be talking more about Kyrie on the court or off the court. And it was on the court.
On the court.
On the court, for sure. Kind of a rusty start.
A little bit of a rough start. But he wasn't alone.
No, I mean, the whole thing was. And you're right. You're like, oh, my God, these guys, did they shoot over the break?
Well, apparently only Gordon Hayward, and he got hurt doing it. So they all said, no, we're not going to the gym.
I was like, oh, my goodness.
Let me just take a couple of minutes here with you and talk about the shocking news yesterday. I got home yesterday afternoon and sat down on the couch and opened up Twitter and was literally dumbfounded when I saw the word that had come out about the death of Nick Cafardo. He was at spring training. He was in Fort Myers. He was at the ballpark on, apparently, according to Dan Shaughnessy's piece, a day that was supposed to be his day off, but it gives you an idea of who he was and what he was. He was at the ballpark. He passed out, fell, hit his head. The Red Sox medical staff were basically there immediately, according to the reports, called 911, had an ambulance. The reports are that he was actually speaking as they were loading him into the ambulance. When he got to the hospital, he had passed away from an embolism. If you look at Twitter, which, let's be honest, Twitter can sometimes be a cesspool.
Right.
I literally only saw one negative word about Nick Cafardo, and it was a response to a Lou Maloney tweet, and that guy got obliterated.
Well, that guy's an idiot.
Yeah, just a total moron.
And that guy didn't know him either.
Right.
He was just whatever, somebody from the outside. But he is, if you think about all of the men and women involved in Boston media, whether it be a beat writer for a paper or a website or works on the radio, works on television, there's honestly less than a handful of people that are unanimously liked and respected. And Nick Cafardo
was
one
of them.
It's unbelievable. It's a very small group. It could be a very petty, sensitive group of media members. But everybody respected Nick Cafardo's work. I love the stories about him helping out the younger guys on the beat, whether it be the Patriots or the Red Sox. There's a lot of great things written about Nick Cafardo right now. I would tell you to check out John Tomasi's on WEEI.com. He was like late 90s when Tomasi started working at these small papers, and Nick Cafardo was there. Nick Cafardo's been doing it for such a long time and was so helpful to all the young guys. It's some of the most impressive stuff when you get the personal aspect. I know Shaughnessy wrote about him. There's been a lot of great stuff written about him.
Buck's
on
got
Twitter.
A great piece as well on The Athletic.
Yeah, it's just shocking news for sure yesterday. That was really crazy.
I had an opportunity to work with Nick through our Nesson connection. I mean, everybody who's been around the ballpark knows Nick.
You see him every single time.
And he always went out of his way. Hey, Dale, how you doing? Mm-hmm. But I worked with him on Nesson on a few occasions. The consummate gentleman.
Right.
He was as nice a guy as you've ever met, and never lost that, never got petty, never got snarky. He was a legitimately good and kind person. And all you have to do is look at the things that have been written about him over the course of the last 20 hours or so.
And amazing, too, that the players, again, Red Sox or Patriots, would trust him, and yet he wasn't just an out-and-out homer. You know, he wasn't one of these guys that was just only going to write positive stuff. He'd be very fair, and yet players, I think famously Terry Glenn, who wouldn't talk to anybody, would talk to Nick Cafardo. And that is just, that really speaks volumes of the kind of person that he was.
When the media got to the ballpark today, because it's the first spring training game against Northeastern at 1 o'clock today, so everybody's at the ballpark early. There was a bouquet of roses sitting at Nick Cafardo's seat in the press box at JetBlue Park. Nobody knew where it had come from. Many of the members of the media, you know, tweeted out a picture of it and said, whoever did this, thank you. It turned out the Red Sox did it. Hmm. The Red Sox put the roses there. The Red Sox, if you look at the game notes that are at the ballpark today, the first paragraph of the game notes are about Nick Cafardo. The Red Sox tweeted out about Nick yesterday. The Patriots sent out a tweet of condolence to Cafardo's family. His son, Ben, works for ESPN. He's in the public relations department at ESPN. I can't think of anybody more universally liked than Nick Cafardo was. And that it's why it's kind of a kick in the gut for everybody in the sports media world.
Oh, it absolutely is. I saw Alex Rodriguez was tweeting about him. You know, the New England Patriots released a statement. I mean, there's just been an outpouring.
How about Alex Rodriguez?
That's what I said.
I mean, and today, Stephen Wright, I saw, was the first Red Sox player who has, and they may not have even, you know, known yesterday, but now you're starting to get, as I understand it, when Alex Cora met with the media today, his, you know, normal pregame Q&A session, he spent the first seven straight minutes talking about Nick Cafardo. And, you know, the family man that he was and you know, the media giant that he was. His Sunday Notes column was a must read if you're a baseball fan.
Right. Right.
It just knocked my socks off because, I mean, all of us see Nick. Hey, how you doing, Dale? What's going on? I had no indication there was anything wrong. And suddenly, at the age of 62, he's gone.
It's unreal. And just to think of all of the interactions that he has had with players, with coaches, with other media members, with fans reading his stuff, and there's no negative story about him. It's insane. There's not, like, anybody else would have something like, yeah, but, or there'd be something there, but not with Nick Cafardo, who, again, was unanimously respected and liked, no matter what angle you were coming from, whether he was reporting on you were competing with him for stories. Like, that's what, you know, Tomasi wrote about a little bit, and some of the other guys wrote about a little bit. All of it, and for two sports, and for so long too. You know, working for the Globe, just really, just crazy. I mean, just insane to read that yesterday.
Shocked all of us. Nobody had any idea. Obviously, I mean, an embolism just happens. It was awful for everybody. And I know that my guess is the Red Sox around opening day or something will observe a moment of silence.
Oh, sure.
At the ballpark for Nick and. You know, thoughts to his family. As I said, his son Ben works at ESPN. He's got a couple of kids and you know, wife, and it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk about a bunch of stuff today at 617-779-7937. Text line is 37937. Devin McCourty's back.
I was surprised. I was pretty surprised. The way he was talking during media night, and the way he was talking a little bit leading up to it, we had Tom Kern on all season long too. And at the end, you know, he spends a lot of time with him doing the TV show and everything else. And I asked him, like, hey, did this kind of come out of nowhere? And he was like, no. So it kind of, you know, he thought that maybe this would be his last year going out on top. He talked about, you know, hey, playing with his brother and how great that would be. But here's a guy who took almost 3 weeks removed. So he didn't get caught up in it. He wasn't on the duck boat saying, I'm coming back. Yeah. Like he allowed himself to really digest it. And then he goes on some podcast I've never heard of, and all of a sudden he's breaking news. Pretty good.
And today, his twin brother Jason tweeted out, told y'all he was a drama queen. Yeah. Although, first of all, could we just get our own Twitter accounts?
Please separate
Devin
the Twitter
and Jason.
Accounts. There's enough
it's
to go
like
around.
It's like they're the Bella twins. You know, they share a Twitter account. Just because you're twins doesn't mean you have to share a Twitter account.
Or back in the day, Ben Zobrist and his wife shared an account. Yeah. I think they've since separated accounts.
Accounts. No, they're not. No,
I think
those two kids are doing fine.
Oh, those Zobrists, they're doing okay. But yeah, I don't know why they share an account. But that is good news. And I'm not saying Devin McCourty was an all pro last year, but I think the leadership that he has, he's a very steady free safety. I think that's good news. Now
I will tell you, he's got a very significant cap number. He's got a big contract. I think he's got like the second or third highest cap number on the team.
I would imagine Bill said, hey, great that you're back, But why don't you come into the office so we can
Let's just hash some things out.
Bring your agent with you. We have some things to talk about.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We return to a Falls Count Anywhere Friday with Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
I just want to echo the sentiment of the organization, the players, everybody in our family and the baseball world. You know, we work in on a profession that seems like most of the time you don't have your loved ones around. You spend so much time with other people and people that, you know, you start to, you know, care about, and most of you guys, you know, start loving people. You know, you guys spend so much time with Nick, and we spend so much time with the players and all that, and puts everything in perspective. I just address the players. It's funny because he was actually the guy that got on me with the off days. I didn't know why, you know, like whenever I gave, you know, I remember Mookie Betts off day the sixth day, and he's like, why? You know, and then Hanley in Oakland, and he's like, why? Yesterday I realized that it was an off day for him, and he showed up, you know, like, that's why he got on me, you know, like, he never took an off day, and he didn't understand that part. Well, he did, but he didn't.
Alex Cora talked for 7.5 minutes about the passing of Nick Cafardo. That was his media session today. Was he wanted to talk about Nick Cafardo, which, by the way, tells you a lot about Nick Cafardo, but it also tells you something about Alex Cora.
It definitely does. And a guy who obviously as a player knew Nick Cafardo and then now as a manager. So he's sort of seen both sides of it. It is, you know, you couldn't go to Fenway Park and not see Nick. You know, there are certain guys that will take days off, right? It's a long season. Every single time I've been over to Fenway, which is random times, always
he's
there.
Always there.
Always there. And so, yeah, it's certainly a big loss.
And the fact that he addressed the players about it says something as well.
Right.
And as I said, I've started to see some response from some of the Red Sox players. I saw Stephen Wright had a tweet about it. He was trusted.
Yeah.
And as Alex said, you know, he got on Alex.
Yeah, but he's fair
about
it.
But he was fair about it.
He wasn't just looking for the big headline. Like we're talking about Kyrie Irving yesterday.
Clicks and likes.
He wasn't looking for clicks and likes. He was just looking to break news and, you know, to have really good stories, and he did.
So it was, I guess, quite a moment for the media who's down there, as Alex Cora, as we said, went on for about 7.5 minutes. Instead of his usual pregame Q&A, he just wanted to talk about Nick earlier today. We mentioned that Devin McCourty is back. And the reason that that's news, frankly, is because of something that happened. It was media night. It was that Monday night. What do they call it now? First night
opening
or something?
Night? Oh, yeah. First night. Yeah, I think it is.
And Deion Sanders for the NFL Network was one of the guys they had going around talking to players. Willie McGinnis was there. Michael Irvin was there. But it was Deion
Rich Keefe was there.
Rich Keefe. Dale Arnold was there.
We were there.
I saw OMF there.
I mean,
it was all the stars.
You better believe it.
So Deion Sanders was talking to Devin McCourty on media night, and that's what got the whole conversation going.
I heard you said you may retire if you win it.
I don't know for sure, man, but I do look at it, you know, if we can win this game, win it with my brother, I don't know, you know, what else I could do that'll top that. So I'm just trying to make sure I enjoy this season and I enjoy these last couple days with these guys.
So, I mean, it seemed pretty clear.
I felt like he was going to retire.
Yeah, well, and you'd be perfectly legitimately,
career.
You listen to that, you'd say, well, if you win, what else is there?
Where else are you going to go, right? I mean, he's had a great career. He's played, was it 9 seasons in the league and, you know, had individual success, team success, the whole thing. You know, you see your brother having to play on losing teams his entire career. He joins up with you. You come together, you win a Super Bowl. Where really do you go from there? But after taking some time, now he did say at the beginning, I'm not really sure. Like, he hadn't made up his mind, obviously. But the fact that it was there, he's won 3 Super Bowls, this guy. And so I guess go for a fourth. I mean, that seems like what it is. I think he's just had so much fun. And so he goes on a podcast out of nowhere.
The Spectrum podcast.
Good for those guys.
Great for them.
Good scoop, Spectrum.
I am not familiar with their work.
Me neither. But I'm a podcast connoisseur.
But they got it.
Yeah.
Because Devin McCourty went on the Spectrum podcast and dropped this.
Are you going to play in 2019?
Yeah, I'm going to play.
You're gonna play?
I think it was just cool. At this point now, like being down here and seeing, I think you get so wrapped up in the season. And I'm just like, you know, at that point, that was media night where Deion said that to me. And it's like, yeah, man, like if we win a Super Bowl, like I don't know what else could top that. And I think like in that moment, I kind of forgot, like, man, I don't play this game just to win Super Bowls. Like it's so much more that comes from me playing the game that I love. And I think once you get a chance to step away for a couple weeks now, you're like, yeah, man, like I still do want to be around these other young guys that come in. Like,
how casual is that at the beginning? You coming back from 2019?
Oh, yeah, I'm coming back.
You gonna play in 2019?
Yeah, I'm gonna play.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Bill Belichick out at you like, what? What'd he say?
Although that is,
I have a feeling Bill already knows, by the way.
I'm sure he already knew, but that also does. That kind of sums up Devin McCourty in a way, too, right? This is not going to be a guy that's going to hold this major press conference or be like,
yeah, I'm going to be
stay
back.
Tuned for my announcement like
on
in
the
2 days.
Spectrum podcast.
Nope. He's just kind of going on there. And the guy just asks him, like, hey, you playing? Yeah, I'm playing. Like, oh, okay. But I think that's good news.
I'm going to play.
Now, at what price is Belichick?
Although,
good?
Do we know that was Devin?
No, we have no idea.
I mean, it could have been Jason. I wouldn't have known the difference.
I think Jason had the better season. I kind of hope they're both back. Right,
Jason's a free agent. You would expect that the Patriots would like to bring him back because, as you pointed out, he had a great year.
Yeah, I would like to see him come back, and you know, maybe somebody else ends up getting a little bit more time. Maybe Duke Dawson's healthy. Who knows? But I would like Jason back. Devin, I thought they were going to have to find a replacement there, but looks like they won't have to. And I think the leadership thing helps too.
Absolutely,
you know? I think that
captain,
definitely helps.
All of the things that he brings to the
did
table.
Did you see the comment? Not to go too away from it because it does relate to this. But did you see the comment the Pittsburgh Steelers GM had the other day about the
kids?
It's Ben Roethlisberger and 52 kids. What a ridiculous comment! But my point is Devin McCourty. Clearly, not just a kid. And so if you were Nick Caserio or Bill Belichick, you would never, first of all, it would be dumb to say it. But even if you felt it, you wouldn't say it's Tom Brady and a bunch of kids. I mean, Devin McCourty is sort of that guy for the defense. He's been here for such a long time. He couldn't be more of a Patriot. And so I think not having to replace those guys in the final couple of years for Tom Brady, I think it's pretty important. Again, knowing that he's not the greatest free safety in the league, he's really good for this team, and it's I think it's definitely important that he's coming back.
All right, let's give you one more cut. As we said, I'm not familiar with the Spectrum podcast.
We are now, Dale.
I might have to
tune into that,
baby. Let's give you part two with Devin.
Well, I remember me and Nate Solder had that conversation after we won our first Super Bowl, and both of us had been on the team in 2011 when we lost and losing the AFC Championship twice, and we finally won, and we was like, and it's this feeling like, man, when you win the Super Bowl, like, and then, like, I remember coming in April, and the first thing you hear from Bill is, like, how much you suck and how much last year didn't matter.
Yeah.
And it kind of made you realize, like, man, if you play this game only for Super Bowls, you're going to be very empty because, like, soon as you win it, it's all about how you can win it next year. Yeah. And if you win it again, it's like how you can – like, I've been 5 times and won 3 times, and all anybody cares about is if we win a 7th championship for New England organization.
Right.
So, like, you have to play for so much more. So I love being able to just step away.
It's kind of interesting to hear, isn't it? Because don't most players say you just play to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean – to me, that's obviously the big part. You know what I think he's also saying in a weird roundabout sort of way? He's being honest.
No, he is.
He's got about 9 million reasons to want to play next year.
Yeah, he does. And he obviously likes working with the younger players and being out there with those guys. I think that's important to him. Where there are other guys who don't want to help the guys behind them, really in every business. But I think there are ones who say, oh, this guy's competition. Whereas McCourty, I think, likes the challenge of maybe seeing some young guys on defense and trying to make them better. I think that's part of it. For a guy who, it's funny, he's been in the league 9 years. He's played in 5 Super Bowls. So he goes
that's
to the Super
good,
Bowl.
Huh?
He goes to the Super Bowl more than he doesn't.
Well, it's the same as Brady in basically 18 seasons. He's been in 9 of them.
Well, 17 if you only count the healthy ones.
Right.
So, right, it's the same thing for both those guys. The other thing that's crazy is very, very, very durable. How many games do you think Devin McCourty has missed in 9 seasons?
Probably not a lot.
5.
Wow.
5 missed games in 9 seasons.
And by the way, plays a very physical position.
He does.
Plays it physically.
And he's played in another 22 playoff games, I believe. So this guy is always out there. He's played in all 16 regular season games each of the last 3 years. So it was more of a question of, does he feel like he has anything more to accomplish? And his words, he said, no, I don't. I don't really have a lot more to accomplish. But he just enjoys it so much. And it's not even just strictly the pursuit of winning a Super Bowl. I just think he doesn't want to stop playing football right now. And based on like injuries and things like that, I think he's got probably another season or two left in him. I mean, he's 31. And you do see safeties.
See, I'm not going to be surprised if he signed to an extension to kind of lower that cap number a little bit here.
Oh, maybe.
Because it's like a $14 million cap number or something.
It's a pretty penny, and I can't imagine they're going to want to pay him that. As much as they like him, and they like Danny Amendola, but they asked him to take a million cuts. They like a lot of these guys, but they want him at the right value. So that might be the next thing we find out later on. Is that, yeah, he's back, but it's going to be a little bit different.
Maybe he'll have a talk with Gronk too. He said he had a talk with Nate Solder. Back when they won their first Super Bowl and talking about wanting to go back and win again. And
what happens first? Rob Gronkowski makes his announcement for next season, or Bryce Harper signs with a baseball team?
Bryce Harper signs.
We're still going to be waiting for Gronk.
Although it was interesting today, the Nationals said, we're out.
So it sounds like Phillies, right?
It sounds like the Phillies are now negotiating against themselves.
Classic. Hopefully they can get a... Yeah. Not a lot going on with Harper. So maybe, do you think we get Gronk next week?
I mean, I'm going to say week after next.
Oh, my God.
Because Drew Rosenhaus said it could be a couple weeks.
That's true. He did say that. So a good month after the Super Bowl. That's fine.
And the question is, does he follow Devin McCourty's lead and say, you know what? I think I want to be back.
I think he's done.
And I think he's back.
There you go. Something's gotta give.
One of us will be right.
The other one will be so wrong. So wrong.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll get to the calls with you coming up in just a couple of minutes. By the way, there are 2 stars in the NBA who would like to have an official barred from refereeing their games from now on.
And they're probably right.
And they might have a case to tell you the truth.
Right. Yeah.
We'll talk about that as we continue on as well. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WE.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
PEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Scott Foster, man, he's a... I never really talk about officiating or anything like that, but just rude and arrogant. You aren't able to talk to him throughout the course of a game, and it's like, how do you build that relationship with officials? Yeah, for sure, it's personal, for sure. Like, I don't think he should be able to even, officiate our games anymore, honestly.
So the Rockets last night blew a 19-point lead to LeBron and the Lakers and ended up losing the game. Both Chris Paul and James Harden fouled out of the game. They had a minus 11 foul differential in the game. I didn't know this until last night in the aftermath. Apparently, Chris Paul said he has met with the league and Scott Foster and discussed this in the past. It does sort of feel personal here for Foster, doesn't it?
It seems like it really... Well, first of all, yes on that. And it's not the first time. And there's been issues before with referees and personal kind of vendettas or rivalries with players. Was it Joey Crawford who hated Tim Duncan? Like, with a passion, hated Tim Duncan. Like, one time Tim Duncan was on the bench and he was laughing with, like, a teammate and he teed him up and threw him out of the game. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't even laughing at you. He was laughing at something else, but he took it personally and tossed him from the game. And I just think, and it's funny that, Tim Donaghy was in the news once again recently. There's a whole article written about him and fixing games and all that stuff. It's just sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire with these referees and these players. And I definitely buy into that. If Scott Foster didn't like how maybe James Harden or Chris Paul maybe showed him up after a call one time. And I don't know how far it goes back or whatever, but I definitely would believe in that. And I always side with the players when it comes down to the players and the refs.
I mean, as I was watching, and I didn't watch the game, but I watched the highlights.
Yeah.
It did seem a little ticky-tack at times. And it looked as though Foster was looking for opportunities. Now, I'm not a big fan of, NBA officiating at times anyway.
That's terrible.
But if you're the NBA, if you're Adam Silver and you're watching that, how do you not say, guys, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you'd think he would, and maybe he will after this, because this is really kind of now blown up. It's become a big story, headlines everywhere. You got to figure this out, because these refs, I understand that they're people, but they just need to ref the game. They can't get into these personal relationships and, oh, I hate this guy, or even the other way too. Like, oh, I really love this guy. Like, you got to be down the middle when you're reffing these games. And it seems like Scott Foster has kind of crossed the line. And I'm not saying that everything that every player does is always right. And sometimes the player is going to yell at the refs, and there's going to be things like that. And maybe that's not always the best way to handle it, but that's part of the job. I really do. I really believe that for these refs, part of the job is to be able to, for the most part, let it go in one ear, out the other. If they go too crazy, that's when you tee them up. But a foul is a foul no matter what. Just because you hate the guy doesn't mean you're going to start looking for stuff, and because that can affect the outcome of games.
And I do actually feel that there are times when leagues would be better served to just say, you know what, Scott, we're going to keep you away from Rockets games for the foreseeable future. And their answer is always, oh, no, because then you'll give the impression that there is an issue.
Yeah.
We're going to put him right back in there. We're going to get him right back out.
Yeah, you can't. But then that's the thing, too, is so now if there's a guy, and Scott Foster's been a ref for a long time. If there's a guy, though, that if you're as a league and you say he can't ref this team's game, well, pretty quickly it's going to turn into this guy just can't ref any of the games. Because if he has problems with those guys,
which is probably fair too, by the way,
I think it probably is. I mean, they really got to look at it, because now you're going to affect the product. And so imagine if this was a playoff game and you're sitting there, you have millions and millions of people watching it, you're all excited to see this team play. James Harden, who's an MVP, Chris Paul is a great player, and they both foul out of the game, and now they're not in there because of Scott Foster. Like, I'm not saying all six were bad calls, but just the idea that...
But if two were...
Right, then all of a sudden it completely changes the game. You know, now you either got to pull these guys earlier, or now they're not getting the minutes, or whatever, or they got to play differently. All of that is ridiculous, and it's just because of a ref who doesn't like a couple of the guys on the other team. It's just, that should never be a problem in any of the sports.
Officiating is always a problem.
Robots.
In every
coming
sport
around to robots?
There,
now, robots?
You're not getting robots.
They're not going to get caught up in personal relationships unless you program it in, which you wouldn't.
Which some people would.
No, you wouldn't. You would just say, hey, fouls.
Next thing you know, it's like
bounds,
Hal in travels. 2001
yeah.
Turning on you.
They all have that voice, too. I would give them all that same voice.
Just Hal's voice, yeah.
They would all have Hal's voice. So they'd be all calling the fouls.
Way creepy.
It'd be a little scary, but you'd get used to it.
All right, let's get to the call. 617-779-7937. We've touched on a lot of different things. We will, at some point, bring you some post-game sound last night, because we always try as best we can to bring you Minnesota Wild post-game sound.
Oh, I
we
think
try
it's
to
worth
keep
it
you up. Okay, I got
gotcha.
You.
We're going to reset the score every day.
Oh, every day. Okay,
now,
yeah.
I was right.
So Ryan Donato had a very nice debut for the Minnesota Wild.
Yes,
had a couple of assists.
Yes, he did.
And we'll get to what Ryan said after the game in just a few minutes. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark. Oh,
hey,
we got to hit the
up,
button.
Dale?
Hey, what's up?
Did he score last night?
No, he had two assists.
All right, two assists. Okay, I need your help with all the whinies out there right now that are crying, oh, my God, you traded a future all-star for Charlie Coyle.
Rich, this is for you.
I'm listening.
Let's hold back on the future all-star. All this kid's got right now is a wrist shot. That's all about. That's all about what he has right now. Explain to these people why the Bruins made this trade. Like, maybe, I don't know, need a third-line center. Need another two-way player, which Donato was not. Did not play defense.
Do you think in a couple of years, Mark, we could be looking back on it and say, oh, Ryan Donato is a 25, 30-goal scorer? Do you think that could happen?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's fair.
I don't think so.
I do. You don't. So maybe that's the difference.
I have a funny feeling he's going to get lost in the abyss of the AHL.
I mean, maybe he looked pretty good in his debut with Minnesota.
Okay, first day, first night with a new team.
He was also playing against half a Rangers team.
I mean, he's also on the Wild. he's on Minnesota. Do you know that Ryan Donato has had as many 2-assist games for Minnesota as Charlie Coyle has? Coyle's played in 60 games. Donato's played in one, and they've had as many 2-assist games.
But you're not looking at the big picture.
What's the big picture?
The big picture is Charlie Coyle comes back and plays defense.
Okay.
Ryan Donato did not do that. Charlie Coyle can go in the corners. Ryan Donato cannot.
Listen, I'm not making the. I'm not somebody who hates Charlie Coyle. I just didn't want to give up Ryan Donato. I'm wondering why they couldn't have given up something else for Charlie Coyle.
Like I said, I really have no problem with Donato being gone. I just think there's another shooter drop. And I'm hoping there's another.
I hope you're right. I really do hope they get somebody else.
Yeah, I do think that when Don Sweeney, talking with the media yesterday, said, yeah, I don't know if we're going to do anything else. I think that's GM talk.
I would hope so.
You know, that's don't get expectations up. You know, let other GMs think that, you know, you're not over a barrel here. You got to make another deal. It's all that stuff that you say that may or may not be true. I'm not worried about that.
If Charlie Coyle is your second line right wing in the playoffs...
He's not going to be.
But right now, wouldn't he be?
Well, because Pasternak's out. But, see, I think what's going to happen...
Oh, so you think... So, all right, well, so who's playing with Bergeron and Marchand then?
That's the question.
Okay. But I'm saying... So, if they don't make another move right now, doesn't Coyle kind of look like a top six guy? If they don't make another move?
Well, I thought so yesterday and said that to you, but listening to Bruce Cassidy and Don Sweeney, it sounds more and more like, no, this is our third line center.
Yeah, I mean, Sweeney was pretty clear.
What they want him to do.
Yeah, he said he's a top nine guy is what he said.
Right.
But then I'm wondering, okay, so even if he's an improvement, but then who is he playing with? Like, if you're looking around right now, and even when Pasternak returns, who's he lined up with, and how much better is he going to be? Because that's what a lot of people who like the trade say, who was he playing with in Minnesota? You put him with Krejci. You're like, all right, well, how long is he going to be with Krejci? Like, he may end up
centering his
own line.
I thought he was going to start there for tomorrow's game, but apparently that's not going to be the case.
So is he going to play with Backes?
How
much better is that going to make him?
It looks like Backes and Nordstrom. I mean, looking at the personnel available to them for tomorrow's game.
So that doesn't strike me as all of a sudden now you have three scoring lines if it's that trio right there. And I'm not saying he's not an upgrade, because I don't like the trade.
Said this yesterday. They're a better team today than they were yesterday.
Yeah, because you traded a guy who wasn't on the roster.
Right, you traded a guy from Providence for an NHL player who's got 479 NHL games.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Your team is better.
Right.
Now, what you can argue about, and it's a valid argument, is next year, year after that, you know, what is Ryan Donato going to be?
Yeah.
And are you going to regret that guy's gone? You might.
Because I've seen a lot of the articles that are out there, and they talk about the young guys. And it wasn't all Sweeney. It was obviously Shirelli, too. But whether it was Phil Kessel or Tyler Seguin or Blake Wheeler or even Frank Vatrano, like all these guys that were on the Bruins ended up getting traded away while they were pretty young. So you didn't know exactly what kind of player they were going to be. Now, Tyler Seguin was the second overall pick in the draft, and he flashed a whole lot.
Yeah, Ryan
lot
Donato
more
is
Donato.
Not Tyler Seguin.
He's not that, but
if you
he,
wanted to use Vatrano
is
here,
Frank Vatrano?
I mean, it's possible, and Vatrano's a 20-goal scorer this year.
And that's what I think. And I think Mark might have been putting words in some people's mouth. I didn't when Donato got traded, I said, there goes this all-star. I'm not suggesting he's an all-star, but I think he could be a solid scoring. Like, there are certain guys who have like the movie Taken, a particular set of skills. And if you're all he's got is a wrist shot. So what? All he can do is score goals. Then that's a pretty good skill to have. Like, if you surround him with the right pieces, you can't have a whole line of guys like Donato. I understand you get torched on the other end, at least the way he plays right now.
Right, right.
But if you put him with the right pieces, I think he can be a productive NHL player.
I'm not sitting here telling you that he's going to be awful either.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about the Bruins for this year and next year, and I'm not sure how much Ryan Donato was going to contribute to the team
this year or next year. This year it felt like not.
And again, if they don't make any other moves, I'm probably going to like this even less.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be the case.
No, and they got till Monday, so, you know, even today we could hear about a trade and certain guys are getting held out of the lineups
last night what happened was the Ottawa Senators told teams around the league, okay, Matt Stone's available. Okay, Ryan Dzingel's available. They had already said Matt Duchene was available. Right. I mean, they decided effective last night, okay, you're not going to play, you're not going to play, you're not going to play. And here you go, guys. They're out there.
I think it was Elliot Friedman who said the deal that Ottawa was trying to work on with Stone was, which he hasn't signed, and so it looks like he wants to go to free agency, was for $10.5 million a year.
That's what I told you the other day.
So that he is definitely...
He's making $7.5 now.
So he's a rental, if there ever was a rental. Like, you're not bringing him back. I don't think... They wouldn't pay him that, would they? And just blow everybody else on the team out of the water?
Yeah, I don't know.
Seems like a ton, considering you're going to have to, you know, give McAvoy an upgrade and some of these other guys, too.
And by the way, the word is McAvoy turned down a deal in the offseason. Fluto Shinzawa wrote this on The Athletic. Because he wants $7.5 million.
I'm not giving him that.
That's the Aaron Ekblad contract, which, by the way, was overpriced then, and
contract.
It's overpriced
right.
now.
Right,
it,
exactly.
It was a bad contract.
That's a bad one.
The other GMs in the NHL said, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, you kind of screwed everybody else.
But... And supposedly, that's what Charlie McAvoy thinks his next contract... Look, I said six and a half the other day, and people went nuts on me.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you're giving him 7.5?
No, I'm drawing the line there. I think six, I think you can stomach, and you hope that he continues to improve. 7.5 is outrageous.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We get right back to the calls with you guys in just a few minutes. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.